Welcome to today's episode. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to our new sponsor, AGL Information and Technology. If you're serious about staying ahead in broadband, infrastructure, AI, and everything shaping the digital ecosystem, AGL Information and Technology is your go-to source. We're bringing you cutting-edge news, insights from industry leaders, and practical knowledge on the trends and tech transforming our world. Make sure to check out aglinfotech.com for your weekly dose of thought leadership and stay empowered in our fast-evolving digital landscape. Now let's get started. Welcome to Closing the Digital Divide, the podcast dedicated to creating meaningful conversations and sharing valuable insights from industry leaders, policymakers, equipment manufacturers, and others on closing the digital divide. I'm your host, Charles Thomas, and together we'll explore policies, challenges, triumphs, and innovative solutions that are reshaping the digital landscape. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's show, and I believe we have a great topic to discuss. There's a lot of buzz in the industry about this, and that topic is Agentic AI, Foundations and Evolutions. And as great a topic as this is, I think we have an even greater guest. I was excited to be able to spend some time with our guest today. I first heard him on another podcast or webinar, and I was like, man, I hope I can get this guy on our show. I'd like to welcome everyone. I'd like to welcome Ron Westfall, who is practice lead specializing in digital transformation, 5G, AI, security, cloud computing, IoT, and data center. Wow, that's a lot. Ron, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, hey, great to be here. Thanks so much, Charles, for inviting me on. And yeah, I'm excited about the role I have at Hyperframe Research, and we're definitely diving into the AI ecosystem and especially how it applies to, you know, rural broadband. So this is exciting. I'm just thrilled to be on the show here with you.
All right. Well, Ron, before we get started here, tell our folks a little bit about you, you know, what you're doing at Hyperframe. And like I said, I just read off a list. Literally, you're the encyclopedia of what's going on today in the industry. So share with our folks a little bit about what you're doing.
I love to. And yes, in terms of what I'm doing at Hyperframe Research and what our organization is doing is that we're, you know, looking at ways to ensure that the ecosystem, you know, the decision makers out there can make, you know, more intelligent decisions about how to optimize AI for their specific needs. And so, you know, that's a challenge. You know, there's just a lot of information out there about, okay, AI, you know, basically it's become something that everybody has to know something about. And now there's a new, a relatively new branch of AI called Agentic AI that also is on the horizon. So sometimes it could be, you know, confusing. And what we want to do is make sure that the folks out there just have a better understanding, you know, abstract some of the complexity and just make it, you know, easier to understand what is going on and what are the most important things to know as you make decisions, as you go, say, on an AI journey, let alone an agentic AI journey.
Well, fantastic. Well, let's jump right into it. So let's start with, you know, the number one question: what is agentic AI and how does it differ from Gen AI?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think this is the level set that can really help people understand what's going on. And as the namesake agentic AI indicates, is that you're literally implementing an agent within your network, within a system to act autonomously and automatically. So in other words, an AI system that's using an agentic AI or an AI agent is basically doing all this coordinating of complex multi-step tasks across the broadband environment, across, say, a fiber network implementation. And that, I think, is the most important distinction, because how that's different from generative AI, or also referred to commonly as conversational AI, is something that I think all of us have experienced. You know, we hop onto, say, a ChatGPT and just ask, you know, questions. And that is, you know, the human that is driving, you know, what is going on. And that generates text for us. It generates code. It generates images. But that really requires direct prompts and is not acting independently. So it's really that fundamental distinction is that an autonomous AI agent is acting on its own after it's been properly trained and secured to do so, whereas with generative AI, it very much is dependent on human interaction. And so, yes, this is quite an important distinction. And then there's, I would say, a lot more scrutiny that's going to be required before people have broader confidence in autonomous agentic AI. However, I think we're seeing progress already in that regard. So yeah, that's the level set. I think that's important for everybody to understand.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. That's going to lead it to into my next question. We were recently at a show with a bunch of local, or I should say regional ISP operators, and you know, you ask them about AI, and they're you see this quizzical look on their face, right? They know about it, they've read about it. How does it work? How's it going to work in my network? So, how do you see the evolution or the evolving of agentic AI into these operations so that it can become a real world application for these guys?
Yeah, that's a tremendous question. I think that's it in essence. Like, why should I care about AI and how can it improve my business, especially business outcomes? And I think that's really the answer is right there. It's like it'll be a common sense evolution. And I think I already cited the example of where generative AI is making a difference, not just in the work environment, but say, you know, in your everyday life. You know, you're asking a ChatGPT or, you know, an equivalent system. There are, you know, plenty of systems out there where you can interact with a large language model that will provide all these answers in an interactive way. So really, in some ways, you can think of it as a search engine on steroids. You know, you're getting very specific answers to very specific questions. So we're evolving beyond using a search engine and having to do a lot of the footwork. Now, I think what we're seeing is that generative AI is already improving some aspects of, say, a broadband network's capabilities. What we're seeing, for example, is field tech going out and asking a ChatGPT what is needed to address this specific issue and getting a specific response that is helpful to them. So that is actually something that is already in play, but we're also seeing it, for example, with, you know, customer care, with, you know, customer support, where you could be interacting with an agentic AI system without knowing it immediately. Now you can deduce after, you know, some questions that, okay, I'm not interacting with a human, but I'm getting my answers and I'm getting what I need. And thus, you know, I walk away as a satisfied customer. And finally, I think we're seeing it impacting, you know, whenever there's coding involved, that's an agentic AI system working in conjunction with conversational AI or generative AI to, you know, speed up, you know, being able to get the code optimized to where it needs to be. And, you know, it's just savings in terms of time, in terms of time to market, and also improving the efficiency of operations. So sometimes you're aware of it, sometimes you're not fully aware of it, but the upshot is that whenever the AI is being implemented, it needs to correlate with improving how your business is operating and improving your business outcomes. And that's how we're going to see it become more and more adopted and integrated into, you know, the workflows out there, into, you know, how we interact with the network operator and how the network operator interacts with partners and customers and so forth.
And you bring up a great point here. Talk to us a little bit about some of these use cases that you see agentic AI really becoming effective in? And then what is it going to take for agentic AI to really take that next step into the enterprise grade applications?
Yeah, that's a tremendous question in terms of how can we, I guess, better understand why agentic AI is helpful. And it comes down to use cases. That is, where is it already making a difference? And where can we anticipate that it can make a difference? And I would look at it in terms of, you know, domains where it's already well suited. That is, there's a structured workflow in place. There's high volume interaction, and also I would say well-defined return on investment. So we're talking about things like ticket triage, where already we're seeing the benefits, as well as knowledge retrieval. And that includes, you know, at the operations center, customer support, but also, you know, the field techs, and also things like system diagnostics, making, you know, the operators of a network smarter. That is, they have more awareness of what's going on with the network. So if there is a network outage, you're just getting quicker, better information as to what's going on. Also, I think in terms of, okay, when will it be ready for, you know, enterprises? I think we're already there in terms of some of those early stage use cases. For example, UPS has shared that it saved $300 million by using agentic AI to improve, well, their logistics, you know, how to really optimize, you know, the amount of miles they use to get, you know, packages to us. So that's another example where it's impacting us, and we might not be completely aware of how it's doing so. But I think what we're going to see a little further out is that agentic AI can make an impact in terms of proactive capabilities. That is, oh, okay, there's a security breach, but we can actually alert the network operator that this is something that is emerging. And so before that security breach becomes a serious problem, you're already acting on it. You're already getting a solution from the AI agent as to not only are you aware of it, but here are the next steps that need to be taken before you're facing a serious crisis. And so it's really that predictive analytics, that proactive capabilities that will be, I would say, the next event horizon as to, okay, agentic AI is making a more broad difference, and it's really becoming part of not just, you know, the systems for, say, local operators, but also for, you know, large enterprises, for government agencies, and so forth. And so I think those are some of the things we should be looking at to understand, okay, why is it so important to us to use it?
Well, you touched on something there that it just reminded me of something that I read just a couple of days ago, and the title of the article was AI is coming for your job, right? But it seems to me that what you're saying is that this is going to be more of a collaboration than a replacement. Or, you know, as I share with people, I think that agentic AI is going to be replacing some of those monotonous, repeatable tasks that then gives us the freedom to be able to work on higher priority tasks. Is that accurate, or what are your thoughts on that?
I would say that it will be a large part of it. And we've been here before. I think we have some instructive, you know, takeaways from when the internet itself came along. And what happened is that the internet ultimately, I would say, delivered more benefits than, I would say, concerns in terms of, you know, the workforce. And so I think two things will happen. Yes, in terms of the concern side, there will be some disruption in some specific organizations for some specific capabilities. However, overall, what we're seeing is that, okay, as organizations learn to better use the internet, then that will create, I would say, a new set of opportunities, you know, like AI orchestrator agents and so forth, people who are humans in the loop for making sure that the AI agent's being used the way that it can make the organization better. And so I think that's an example of where the advent of AI, and specifically agentic AI, can also create, I would say, new job opportunities. And Charles, I think you hit the nail on the head. It will be also a tool. It really is a tool. It's like other tools that we already have to, you know, make our jobs more efficient and, well, a better experience. You know, I think it will have ultimately a positive impact on workforce experience. And that's why we're seeing, you know, large organizations and other organizations in general simply asking, how can we use AI to make our workforce better? And that includes upskilling and reskilling within the organization. And also, you know, the employee to figure out, hey, I just used ChatGPT to figure out a solution to a problem that would have taken hours or days even had I not used it. And so therefore, that will free me up from those manual bandwidth intensive tasks that, you know, can, I would say, decrease the workforce experience or the employee experience. But now I can have focus on more important strategic type tasks because I have an AI agent helping me with those tasks. So I would say, like with the internet itself, it will be overall a net benefit for the overall industry and for employees and so forth. However, you know, you can't sugarcoat that there will be some disruption in some specific areas. However, as we learn better how to harness this, I think it will just do that, make employees simply more effective at what they do.
So recently we were at the WIA show out in Chicago. Yeah, easy for me to say, right? And it kind of the buzzwords there was 5G and AI. In your opinion, do you believe that the current 5G edge computing infrastructure is ready to support real-time autonomous multi-agent collaborations? And the second half of that question is, where do you see those gaps, those current gaps?
Yeah, it's an outstanding question. And yeah, let's look at 5G specifically. And I think it varies from, you know, different parts of the world. And I think 5G has already gone through a hype cycle. And that, you know, 3 years ago, it was, you know, very much, you know, the hot topic, you know, before AI basically took over as the, you know, hot topic of the industry. And I think what happened was we did not fully understand when 5G would be at its best in terms of supporting edge use cases, including AI use cases such as AI inferencing, where, you know, the AI algorithms are actually executing what's being asked at the edge versus going all the way back to a massive data center with, you know, GPU clusters where the AI training is going on. That's, you know, the source of the information that you're getting with a ChatGPT interaction. But what is going to happen is that more and more of that capability will be distributed so that your smartphone is actually implementing the AI requests. And that's going to be important. Also, that's going to be on edge systems. For example, the server at your organization's data center or at the branch office or, you know, at the regional office. And why that's important is that it will protect the integrity of the data. It will better uphold privacy requirements and so forth. And 5G networks will be integral to this. It will become increasingly important because what we're seeing is 5G is having more impact because we've gone from the initial deployments, which were basically non-standalone 5G deployments. That is where we're using 5G radios, but 4G cores to get the 5G up and running. But that was not really the vision for 5G. Fast forward to now, and we're going to see into the foreseeable future, now we have what are called 5G standalone networks. And that is we have a 5G core interacting with the 5G radios. And the bottom line is that's going to be better suited to support certainly AI use cases, but also AI workloads, but also other important capabilities that we've been hearing about but haven't quite taken off more, such as using augmented reality. Now I'm seeing, for example, that 5G networks are enabling the use of AI capabilities in conjunction with augmented reality, for example, at construction sites, where now they're able to get that information in real time and getting it optimized. So, okay, I can now proceed with the next steps for, you know, this construction site. Whereas before, it would have taken a lot more time to get that same information because you didn't have the 5G connectivity at a remote construction site, for example. Now you do. And now you have the AI capabilities making something like, okay, I'm using augmented reality to get an optimized view of where the construction needs to be optimized and where I can definitely make the best decisions as to make sure that the construction stays on time, on schedule, and that we're certainly upholding public and work safety and so forth. You know, it's all tied in together. So I think that is something that we're going to see more of because both the 5G networks are maturing more. There are just more capabilities built into it, and that will help improve AI in terms of its performance, how it's helping, you know, whoever is using it. And it will also involve naturally fiber networks. It will also involve Ethernet networks. All of them will be working together to ensure that the network itself, however it's using the connectivity, will be able to optimize AI for the business or for the individual user.
Well, you touched on a very important topic that I'm going to leap into right now, and that is security, compliance, and control, right? What governance models do you think are necessary to prevent agentic AI systems from acting outside of compliance or those enterprise policies? You know, when you go out to ChatGPT, you know, the world can kind of see everything that you're doing there. So how can I protect my data, my policies, my procedures from getting out into the world?
Yeah, that's, I would say, a very important question because this could be a tiebreaker. I mean, security is always important and it's, you know, a regular headline issue. You know, yes. We hear about, you know, ransomware, you know, causing an organization a tremendous disruption or, you know, unfortunately even having to shut down because, you know, the ransomware was that brutally effective. And we certainly don't want to have AI systems, you know, enabling that type of scenario, let alone, you know, the more, I would say, common security concerns such as, you know, malware and, you know, other breaches that can occur. And I would say there are important steps that are going on right now to make this more, I would say, secure, giving an organization more confidence to implement AI, but also agentic AI. And I would say one important protocol out there at this stage is called Model Context Protocol. And this was developed by Anthropic, but now is being shared across the ecosystem. And what that's enabling is for agentic AI systems to have a standardized method to interact with other AI agents out there, but also any third party, you know, a database, a human, you name it. It's basically AI to X communications, and that needs to be secured. And so what I'm seeing is that organizations are taking a multi-layered governance model approach to ensure that these AI systems are secure. I would say, for example, IBM with its Watson X approach, I say is making a big difference, and also their Granite models, that these models are being purposely built to address this very issue. And so already you have, you know, key players jumping on top of this, but also I would say it comes down to fundamentally the silicon first. And so we're seeing, I would say, very important players such as NVIDIA, Qualcomm, Intel, AMD, you know, all these folks are coming together to make sure that the silicon is going to support these AI security mechanisms because of what I touched on earlier. More and more AI, when it comes to inferencing, when it's being implemented for, you know, a direct task that is required, that needs to be better secured because it's being implemented on your smartphone and is not going across the internet to a data center to achieve that same capability. And so that's going to be the huge difference maker right there. And that's where it's going to trigger the rest of the ecosystem to better support that. So you name it. It's, you know, the server, the switch, the storage system, the smartphone, whatever device or whatever network component is being used will have these built-in capabilities coming out of the box. And also it will require, you know, some, of course, vigilance on the part of the organization to make sure that they're, you know, implementing that the way it needs to be. But I think the good news is more of this is going to be built in and more of this will be automated so that, you know, folks can have, you know, more, I would say, peace of mind in terms of implementing them. And I think already we're seeing success with what I talked about already, like, you know, the UPS example and so forth. There was no security breach associated with those use cases, these breakthroughs. And so that shows like, okay, some things are being done right fundamentally at the inception. And as we continue to unfold this, we just have to maintain that vigilance and making sure that the entire ecosystem has these built-in security assurances so that we avoid, you know, those nightmare scenarios or, you know, just the constant headache of, okay, was that a security breach or not? That's where AI can come in and help you. It's like, that's a real deal breach or it's not a real deal breach.
So we know that there's a bunch of threat actors out there, right? And they're also using AI to to search for vulnerabilities, and it's constant. So we have to keep up, right? So do you see a shift towards zero trust frameworks specifically tailored for autonomous agents operating across networks and cloud domains?
Yes, it's a short answer. And that's, I would say, another vital question out there. And zero trust is different from, you know, traditional security implementations such as, you know, VPNs, where, you know, there's a client-server interaction, and those have become compromised. And so what zero trust does, it removes, you know, the agent to server issues or client, I would say specifically client to server issues that have cropped up because, you know, you're using, you know, for example, a password that could be compromised. And then once, you know, the worker or the remote employee is into the network, then they have complete access to the network. What zero trust does is that, okay, these implementations will now become micro-segmented. So now the organization can ensure like, okay, whoever is using the network is already pre-authenticated that they already have this ability to do this. But also, as the namesake indicates, you know, zero trust, that they can't do, you know, as a result of, you know, using a specific part of the network, they can't do what is called east-west, you know, cyber penetration. That is, you know, tap into other parts of the network that they don't belong to. So that protects not only the organization, but ensures that there's a bad actor that breaks in, that they can be contained, that there could be a separate way to make sure that this is not something that is going to cause an organization-wide security headache, that it's already isolated and contained should, you know, such an event occur. Now, the other aspect that I'm seeing more of, and I had a good conversation, for example, with Deutsche Telekom, but also JP Morgan on the enterprise side, is that this is a mechanism that's been around for a while, but we'll pick up more because we're using AI, you know, the good guys are using AI to fight, you know, bad AI, you know, AI fire. We've been here before. And one scenario that I'm keen on are, you know, using honeypot implementations. That is, you know, using deception to deceive, you know, the bad guys out there so that they are actually attracted to what they think is the real network implementation, but they actually are penetrating something that's set up to trap them. So not only are you distracting them from your core fundamental network from being compromised, but now you're getting information on them because they are in your honeypot. And as a result, you can, you know, take extra steps to better protect yourself. And so I think these are ways that are evolving to, you know, help, you know, ensure that AI fights, you know, AI that's being used by bad actors out there.
Right. And that's so, so important. We only have a few minutes left. This has been awesome. I literally could sit down all day and talk to you about this. But I want to jump back a little bit into the human factors. You know, again, I'm going to refer back to an article I saw where, you know, the title was AI is coming for your job, right? So what are the new skills or roles that employees or people in general will need to, well, enterprises will need to develop to effectively design, monitor, and collaborate with these AI agents or AI systems, I should say?
Yeah, it's outstanding development here. And so I would say we're already seeing organizations adopting upskilling of their workforce, or just simply ensuring that their workforce is using AI in a way that benefits the worker as well as the organization. And that includes interacting with agentic AI systems that are autonomous. And just in the last couple of weeks, I've heard companies like Cisco, as well as HPE, have already embarked on these programs so that their workforces are better able to use AI for their specific workflows, for their specific business objectives. And so I think that's going to be an important thing, is just like, you know, the internet itself and other tools, you know, that are important for an organization to use. You know, it could be an existing billing system, or it could be an existing operation system, is that these tools just need to align with being assured that the workers know how to use them, that they're trained on them, and that they can, you know, make these outcomes better. But also, it's ensuring that the tools that the worker is using is meeting those specific business outcomes. So there's not this one-size-fits-all system or solution out there. It's like, okay, we are committed to using AI to improve our business, to improve our workforce. Now we have to take these steps to ensure that it's aligned to our specific needs. So, you know, some homework is involved, but thankfully, many of these programs that are offered by, you know, the IBMs, by the Ciscos, by the Nokias, and by, you know, the HPEs are being built to enable what can be called an AI factory. Like, okay, you adopt this solution, it will automatically come up on your network. All you need is the dashboard and, you know, your ability to access it. And then it will go step by step to help you make sure your AI journey is going to be successful. Now, in terms of new skills, I think I touched on that. We'll also create new job, I would say, descriptions, new job opportunities. An AI orchestration engineer is a human in the loop. So as effective as agentic AI can be in terms of more autonomy, more automation, you still want that human in the loop to make sure that everything is going as planned, or when a human does have to step in, that it has the built-in mechanisms for that so that it will work according to, you know, the requirements of the business. And it's a kind of a loose analogy, but I think one that we all understand is it's akin to ATMs. You know, we all use ATMs at a bank or at an outlet. And it's all automated. It could be very well an AI-enabled ATM. But there will be times when you really can't just use the ATM for your needs. You need to walk into the branch and talk with a person to address, you know, a new specific set of issues. But it's that, I would say, that blending where it's going to be working for many of those tasks that are more, I would say, orchestrated, more that are more conducive to automation. But yes, you definitely want the human in the loop to address, you know, new things that come up, wild cards or whatever, and adjust, you know, the system accordingly, or get, you know, new lessons learned and just improve. And that's, I think, an important thing about agentic AI. It's using continuous learning so that it's making itself smarter. But also, any human that interacts with the system is also gaining that knowledge and as a result, smarter. So I think, yes, we'll see AI collaboration strategists as another, I would say, job role that will expand more. So, this is, you know, I would say an overall good news aspect about what's going on. But, yeah, it's definitely going to have to improve, you know, outcomes for the workforce itself. Otherwise, it just will be a failed AI experiment by the organization.
Before we wrap up today's episode, let's talk a little bit about our new sponsor, AGL Information and Technology. If you're passionate about broadband, tech innovation, infrastructure, and how federal programs are reshaping the digital landscape, AGL Information and Technology is your essential resource. Each week, AGL InfoTech brings you deep insights, timely news, and expert perspective on the front lines of digital transformation. Explore the latest articles on broadband advancements, AI applications, and strategies for navigating the evolving tech ecosystem, all with one goal, empowering you with knowledge. Ready to stay informed and inspired? Visit aglinfotech.com and be part of the conversation that's shaping the future. Well, I think you just confirmed one of my statements that I use all the time, and that is, whenever there's disruption, there's always opportunity, right? And so I truly believe that there's going to be huge opportunities as this technology matures and grows. And to your point, create job opportunities, create specialties for folks. Ron, this has been super, super fantastic. I really am very happy that you found some time in your busy schedule with all the things that you do. Tell our folks where they can find more information about you, about your company, and just in general, things that you guys are doing.
Ah, thank you, Charles. And this has been tremendous. Love it. And yes, you know, there are more potential topics such as physical AI, multimodal AI, but we'll stick to agentic AI. And I thank you for, being able to share. Certainly Hyperframe Research, you know, that is our domain URL. So definitely visit our site and you'll see the research that we're conducting in terms of this very important topic. We do research notes, we do research papers, we do webinars, and and this is, I think, a tremendous example. We do, you know, podcasts and so forth. So I think this is all the type of content that people find very informative and useful to better understand what's going on and to, you know, take next best steps. Also, personally, I can be found on LinkedIn. I think that's a tool that is very effective for enabling our communications. This is how Charles and I, you know, got our first, you know, communication. Absolutely. And so you can find me there. But also, for example, you can find me on what's called Twitter X. I'm at Ron Westfall DX. But also, I can be, you know, found on other social media like YouTube and so forth. And I think I welcome any thoughts as well as, you know, questions and so forth. It's just something that's going to impact all of us, not just at our work, but also in our daily lives.
I agree. And the more we're educated, the less the fear mongers out there will dissipate, right? So very excited, Ron. Thank you very much. I appreciate so much you coming on with us. And make sure, folks, that you reach out to all of those online locations to get to Ron, ask some questions. Very easy guy to talk with. Looking forward to, because you said it, I'm looking forward to following this up with other topics that we can share with our audience. So, Ron, thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you again. Loved it.